I'd love to welcome you to this week's Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics related to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic will dive into the messaging for the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act and beyond. We're going to join CCL's Marketing Director, Leslie Beatty, for a training that's going to provide an overview of the important role and focus and resonance in communicating our four key points behind the Energy Innovation Act, as well as additional messaging recommendations and context for our Carbon Pricing is Popular program, depending on your audience and where to find all of these supporting resources in CCL community. So if we've done our job well, we have three main learning goals after tonight. We're going to have a chance to really dive in deep to messaging, and that's to give you more flexibility as well as to help highlight, it's going to require discipline to really focus on those four key points without snowing people over. We're going to also talk about why we're talking about a broader price on carbon. We're starting to talk more about a price on carbon and a carbon tax than we used to, and we'll explore why that is. And then we'll also highlight using evidence of support and how to do so effectively. And we have key resources that we'll show where to find on CCL community to get us through that wonderful background. At this point, I'd love to just say a quick word about our esteemed speaker tonight. The wonderful Leslie Beatty is CCL's Director of Marketing. She's been in that role for 3 years. Leslie's out of California, and before that had a wonderful, successful career that she can tell you all about in Q&A if you're ever curious about her work with Sunrun and with Yahoo. I've always learned so much when getting a chance to work with Leslie, and for all of the work tonight with our messaging, we really have Leslie and a larger team to thank, but we've got a perfect lineup and the speaker to lead us through that because of Leslie's work. And our agenda is really straightforward. We're going to highlight our main top line messages. We're then going to expand into additional messages, bring in wraparound support for graphics and video that we have for those, especially with both the Energy Innovation and the Carbon Pricing is Popular campaigns. We'll highlight a little bit of work that CCL is doing to support the broader price on carbon messaging outside in the larger world right now. And then we'll close by highlighting how you can find all of this after tonight on CCL community. So with that, I will pass the baton to you, Leslie, and we are so honored again for all of you making it.
Great. Thank you, Brett, for that very nice introduction, and thanks everyone for joining. And so we're going to start off by diving a little bit deeper into the Energy Innovation Act messaging, and we're going to look at our four key points, but we're also going to dive into each one of them individually. And so probably most of you by now have seen our lead points. And these are the four things that we lead with when we're talking about the Energy Innovation Act. You can read them, but they are net zero by 2050, affordable clean energy, saves lives and puts money in your pocket. These messages we chose because they resonate broadly and they also resonate with the public. So they were designed with a standard of someone who is alarmed about climate change or concerned about climate change, who doesn't know a whole lot about policy and may not even know that there are policies that could be implemented to help us solve climate change. How do we build them? We start with the text of the bill, obviously, which is the source of truth as to what the bill is gonna do. But we also took a look, we stepped back and took a look at all of the new studies that have come out since the Energy Innovation Act was first introduced back in 2019. And we did some light research, which is, we had some focus group style interviews where we put messaging in front of people and saw what they reacted well to and where they got confused and what they didn't react well to. And so those findings have been incorporated into some of the choices we made about messaging, and I'll try and suss those out as we talk more about the messaging. There are only four because it's really better to repeat yourself than it is to overload somebody with a bunch of information. And so the way humans work is that we believe something the more we hear it. So repeating the same point over and over again is more impactful than providing several different evidences of support. And so that's the reason why any messaging person or marketer will always want it to be pretty tight is that it helps keep us on track and making sure the most important things are getting said enough. I want to say before I start, most of any numbers behind the data points that I'm going to share, most of them are on the energyinnovationact.org data sources page. There will be some new talking points that we'll introduce tonight. And so there, if it's not on the data sources page, the notes for the sources for those will be in the slides and the speaker notes of the slides, which we'll share after the call. Okay, so net zero by 2050. This policy will reduce America's carbon pollution by 50% by 2030, putting us on track to reach net zero by 2050. There's a reason why we're leading with the goals. And that reason is that these concrete goals really get people's attention, make them want to learn more, but also helps us communicate that the policy is fast and effective, better than just saying fast and effective. So the main point of this is to say it's going to work to bring our emissions down. But we've included relevant targets. And so this talking point has actually been updated since we launched, namely to include the 50% by 2030 target that was introduced by President Biden on Earth Day. The Energy Innovation Act will in fact reduce pollution by that amount. And so we've updated the messages there. And then net zero by 2050 is really a global target that's globally understood, where we absolutely have to get there. And so those two things are relevant in the conversation that people are having when they talk about climate policy. And so Joe Biden's quote, "The United States sets out on the road to cut greenhouse gases in half by the end of this decade. That's where we're headed as a nation. And that's what we can do if we take action to build an economy that's not only more prosperous, but healthier, fairer, and cleaner for the entire planet." That was how he made the announcement on Earth Day. And so since then, we have been standardizing our messaging for that goal. Okay, so I wanted to talk a little bit else about what you might say. Now, the top line messaging is great. It's very tight. I understand, and we all understand that, CCL supporters may need more based on different circumstances they find themselves in. And so the goal here is to provide a little bit more about what else you might say as a supporting talking point or evidence if you happen to get into a conversation about net zero by 2050, or someone wants to know more or talk more. We're basically saying that the policy is fast and effective. And so the other things that you might consider saying, a price on carbon acts fast to reduce carbon pollution. We'll start seeing tangible results in as little as 9 months. The effectiveness of any climate policy is really heavily determined by how soon it can start. And one major benefit of a carbon price is that it is fast to implement. So there are no complex rules to write after it's adopted. It's very unlikely to encounter court challenges that would delay its implementation. And so the Energy Innovation Act text says that the policy must be implemented by 9 months after it's enacted by Congress. But really, because it's so simple, it will have impact right away. Businesses will start planning around it as soon as it gets enacted. And so it's a very fast to implement. Okay, the second talking point is that a robust economy-wide price on carbon is the single most powerful tool that we can use to reduce carbon pollution. What's behind this is that our America's carbon pollution is spread out among 5 key economic sectors, and a carbon price drives reduction in all of them, including industry, transportation, and buildings. And so while we're not saying, it's important to note that we're not saying this is the only solution, we are saying that it's the single most powerful solution. Okay. And then carbon pricing is a tried and tested tool. More than 45 countries have already put a price on carbon pollution and started seeing strong results. This is true. So when we remind people that carbon pricing is already implemented and working around the world, we remind them that it's effective, but we also remind them that it's politically feasible. So this is a nice supporting point for, and we know it works because other countries have implemented it. Okay. I'm going to move on. So affordable clean energy. With this policy, the government sets the direction and businesses respond in order to provide abundant, affordable, and reliable clean energy. This one was heavily impacted by some of the focus group testing we did. We found that people didn't fully understand the benefits of innovation, but they were worried about energy becoming more expensive with a price on carbon, so that they understood green things to be more expensive. And if there was a price on carbon, they felt that things would become more expensive, energy would become limited. And so what this talking point does is communicates the benefit to people, which is lots of affordable clean energy. And innovation is really what drives that. So innovation is what drives more and not less energy. And with the Energy Innovation Act, it can happen in any sector of the economy and across all stages of our supply chains. So we know and experts acknowledge that innovation really will be needed to get us to net zero at the pace that we need to do that. Okay. And then the supporting messages for affordable clean energy really speak to the importance of American technology innovation to solving climate change. And so the first supporting point is with this policy, the market decides what the best clean energy solutions are instead of government workers picking winners. This is the concept of a level playing field and a market-based solution is critically important to many conservatives. And it matters to them because having a level playing field and having businesses compete leads to more better efficient solutions, which will drive us down faster and hopefully more efficiently. Okay, and then the last supporting talking point here is this policy will help make America a world leader in clean energy. Clean energy innovation is happening, but it doesn't need to come from the US. It could come from other countries. And so there is an element here of, you know, if the US wants to lead and even compete on clean energy, it does need to incentivize innovation so that we will innovate on those new solutions. And together, this bucket of talking points works very well for folks on the more conservative side. So it contains a lot of the points that matter a lot to them for a climate policy. Okay. Saves lives. So a price on carbon will improve health and save 4.5 million lives over the next 50 years by reducing pollution Americans breathe. So the headline here is really that air pollution is way worse for us than we realized it was. There's a ton of new studies out that are just showing that the impacts of air pollution on health are really terrible, and in fact more terrible than we understood. We included this bucket of talking points to acknowledge that. It focuses purely on people and the health impacts that burning fossil fuels have on our lives today. It should be noted that there are other health impacts of climate change, but those are really less understood, so that the research mostly today focuses on what would happen if we stopped burning fossil fuels and creating that air pollution. Okay, so sorry, I already said that piece of it. Okay, so the supporting messages here, this policy will start saving lives right away because air quality clears up quickly when we stop burning fossil fuels. We saw this during COVID. So, you know, when everybody was staying home and we weren't burning as many fossil fuels, the air quality looked fantastic. And it turns out that it's really responsive to when you stop burning, it clears up right away. And so a fast acting policy like the Energy Innovation Act will save lives right away. Okay. This policy will save lives and improve health in communities of color, which suffer the worst impacts of air pollution, including increased vulnerability to COVID. This is true, and it's a very strong point of agreement. when speaking with frontline communities and organizations focused on environmental justice or anyone who's focused on equity and public health. Okay. And air pollution doesn't just kill us, it makes us sick too. So this policy will prevent 3.5 million hospital visits, including 50,000 visits from children due to asthma over the next 50 years. So air pollution hurts us from before we're born throughout our whole lives. And it's worth reminding, if you've got an audience that wants to talk about the health impacts, that it's not just deaths, it's also that we are we're sick from air pollution. And then last one, this policy will keep us able to work and care for our families. It will restore an estimated 300 million workdays that would otherwise be lost due to air pollution and heat. So this really translates health into work productivity and ability to provide and care for our families. And that's the last saves lives talking point. Okay, puts money in your pocket. This policy is affordable for ordinary Americans because it puts money in your pocket. The money collected from the fee is given as a monthly carbon cashback payment to every American to spend with no restrictions. This one tested very well. So a couple of things we tested is calling the dividend a carbon cashback, which was something that had already been tested by CCL volunteers in New Hampshire, who raised the idea that they felt like they were better able to communicate what this was if we could call it a carbon cashback. And so what we did in marketing is we just put it out there and tested to see if anybody didn't understand what it was, and it tested very well. People implicitly seem to understand what a carbon cashback is. And everybody is worried about how they and others will afford a transition to a green economy. And so people felt it was very important to have it be affordable for ordinary Americans. So not just the poorest, but also the more average income folks. And they also wanna know that nobody's gonna tell them what to do with the money. So with no restrictions was important to them. They wanted to know if it was going to be enough money for folks to come out ahead. And so the talking point here is this policy helps financially vulnerable low and middle income Americans the most. And that's because the less wealthy you are, the less you tend to buy and travel. And so your carbon costs are just less and your dividend is the same. So it tends to be that the folks on the lower end of the economic spectrum come out even or ahead. And there are some data supporting points in our household impact study that show that, you know, the vast majority of the lowest 20% will come out ahead or break even. And a heavy majority of the bottom 60% of income will also break even or come out ahead. So there's data to support this. Okay. This policy directly helps Americans financially, which makes it politically durable. This one is an interesting one. It's probably of best use when you're talking to somebody in power who's thinking about the durability of the solution, but in order for a policy to be implemented long enough to actually reduce our emissions and make changes, it does have to be livable. And people have to be able to accept it. And so giving people money is a great way to make sure that the policy can endure long enough to do the work that it needs to do. Okay, and then under this policy, wealthier Americans will be able to manage their costs by adjusting what they buy. Carbon costs are determined by behavior, not income. This is messages developed for a line of conversation that can consider a dividend income redistribution. And so there is a point to make where people can control how much costs they pay through a carbon fee and dividend by controlling what they buy. So, okay, so that's it. That's a lot of messages, right? Like just even me reading them, I feel overwhelmed by how many messages there are. So why are there so many of them? Flexibility, right? So we are all out there talking to different people, and different things resonate with different people. And sometimes we need, we want to lean into a couple of these points, and other times we want to use different ones. So the guidance here is don't use all of these at one time. Limit yourself to 3 to 4 main points. And so that kind of means one of two directions. First, you can go broad, right? You can do all 4 of the top level talking points, or you could pick 3 of them even, or you can go deep. So if you want to dive into one bucket of talking points, you might choose to do that and focus on that. So for example, if you're meeting with a health organization, you could spend the entire time talking about saves lives, right? Talking about health and saving lives and air pollution. If you're meeting with environmental justice groups, you might want to focus on saves lives and puts money in your pocket. If you're meeting with a business, you're probably going to focus on the affordable clean energy and the innovation talking points. So those are, these messages are too many to use all at one time, but they're designed to give us the flexibility that we need as we're out in the world and having different conversations. And then the last piece of guidance is that we want to start pairing real world evidence of support. And we'll talk about this a lot more in a little bit, but pair your talking points with a proof point, whether it's like a graphic with a quote or a video, something that can help sort of underscore your point via a different messenger can be very useful. And we've started building out a lot of those. Okay, so that brings me to an initiative that we've been doing at CCL National. We are starting to create a lot more content that's about a price on carbon or even a carbon tax. And we have developed kind of a new style that we're using, this olive green and gray look and feel. We're going to use that on our website, in slides, in our social media content when we're talking about a price on carbon or a carbon tax or any policy that is essentially the policy that we support. We are developing sort of a new line of content for that. So why are we doing this? Why are we broadening the conversation? You can see this is an example of the type of thing we might put out there. So instead of saying the Energy Innovation Act is the single most powerful tool, we're saying a price on carbon is the single most powerful tool we have to lower America's carbon pollution. So there's a couple reasons for us to do this. First is that there are a lot of policies out there, right? There's the Energy Innovation Act, but there are also other carbon prices that might accomplish an economy-wide price on carbon that gives money to people. There are other carbon policies out there. And with climate hopefully starting to heat up in the sense that Congress is starting to take aim and will do something and the Biden administration is supportive, we need to have some flexibility for what we want to support. And so this broad category of content is meant to provide that flexibility. It also allows us to use the vocabulary that other people are using. So people say carbon tax and price on carbon way more frequently than they say like a carbon fee and dividend or the Energy Innovation Act, which is obviously a very specific policy. And we know that by looking at Google, right? So monthly searches for carbon tax dwarf other things, and monthly searches for price on carbon dwarf carbon fee and dividend. And we're starting to use those words so that other people who are talking about the same thing that we're talking about know that we're talking about the same thing. So we're mixing in some of these phrases more often, and we're producing content that uses that. And then it also allows us to leverage support from folks who are supportive of a policy like the Energy Innovation Act, but are stating their support as support for a price on carbon or a carbon tax. And there's a lot more support out there of big names. And so because that support is important, we want to be able to leverage it for our cause, which is to pass a policy like the Energy Innovation Act through Congress. So that's why we're doing this. And that's what all of this green stuff is. Generally, if you're talking about the Energy Innovation Act, you're going to want to use the Energy Innovation Act messaging in those slides. If you're in a conversation that's broader and it doesn't fit to use the Energy Innovation Act, that's when you would switch to the price on carbon slides and or materials. And so we've created all of the same slides in the price on carbon flavor, and we'll give you access to that at the end of this meeting. But additionally, there are some additional messages that we aren't using for the Energy Innovation Act, but you may see these pop up in some of CCL's own communication and even testimony to Congress. And so I wanted to review those with you as well. The first one is creates jobs. So a carbon price will incentivize innovation by America's businesses, creating millions of new jobs that will transform our economy and put Americans back to work. This source is from the US Energy Policy Solutions. It's pretty hard to forecast jobs accurately. And so if you have been a CCL volunteer for a long time, you'll know that we pulled away from using the 2.1 million jobs from our REMI study. We are comfortable saying millions of jobs because we are comfortable that a price on carbon will create millions of jobs. We just don't know how many. So that's why it's relatively unspecific. But for the majority of people, clean energy is going to mean more better paying job opportunities than what they have available today. So you may see some marketing from CCL that draws on jobs. And there's a good reason for this, because the Biden administration has equated climate policy with jobs. And so when we're talking about jobs, we're trying to, we're making our communications more relevant for the priorities that the Biden administration has put out there. Okay, business preferred. So businesses prefer this policy because they remain financially stable while they adjust their operations, thanks to a predictable and gradually rising price on carbon. This policy is the easiest one for businesses to use and understand in their models. And so they don't have to hire consultants, to sort of read the tea leaves on understanding new regulations, and teach them how to incorporate it into their plans. So this one is really business preferred, and there's starting to be a lot of support points out there for that. Businesses are starting to speak up. And so this talking point is useful when you're trying to evidence support for business for a price on carbon. Okay, strong economy. So by 2050, this policy could save Americans over $800 billion each year in economic losses, or over $6,000 per household. These talking points are great for folks who know and understand the economy and care about it. This is phrased specifically on loss avoidance. So if we don't do anything, it's going to cost us a ton of money each year by 2050. The source for this is the Swiss RE report, and that's in the speaker notes. And then the second economic messaging is this policy is the best for America's economy because it's the most cost-efficient way to lower America's pollution. And so if you were to match its impact, you would need to do multiple regulations across economic sectors at an additional cost of hundreds of billions of dollars every year to America's economy. So those are the additional talking points that start to emerge when we're talking about a price on carbon more generally. Okay. And then I want to talk a little bit about support for a price on carbon. So one of the things that we have been doing is a regular drumbeat of communication around who supports a price on carbon. through our marketing and communications teams. And this mostly takes the form of graphics and videos on social media. So we're constantly dribbling out like new people who have said something good about carbon pricing, new endorsements, articles, all of those things. And we're also at the same time doing press outreach through our comms team to keep them apprised of new developments in carbon pricing. And so our goal is to help people understand that carbon pricing has momentum and that it is popular. And so I'm going to share a couple of these with you so you can see what I'm talking about. But these are really among the most persuasive tools we have to keep a conversation fresh, right? It's a great way to pick up a conversation that has lapsed. And it's a great way to persuade people on the merits of carbon pricing. This first graphic is the National Academies of Sciences, Lisa Murkowski, on what she has to say about a price on carbon, Jamie Dimon. So whenever somebody says something about carbon pricing, we have a little process where we capture it and then turn it into a graphic, and then we make those graphics available. We're just starting to put them into slides, and so we will keep those up to date. And then this last one, this Janet Yellen one, there's also a template for you to make your own. So if you have a statement of support that you want to use, you can easily make it in this style with the green box and the quote, and put it into your presentations. Okay. And then the other thing we make is videos. So we produce probably 4 to 6 videos a month. A number of them at this point are in support of evidence of support for a price on carbon. So they can take a couple forms. And the first is if somebody endorses the Energy Innovation Act directly, we will put that into a video. And so we'll play this one very short. This is actually Representative Tony Cardenas from California. He did a video endorsement. And so when our members of Congress are willing to, you know, speak out on behalf of the Energy Innovation Act, we turn those into video, we put them on social media, and we also want to make them available for use for you.
Supporting climate policies like the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act puts us on the right path to drastically reduce carbon production, address environmental injustice, and transition to clean energy alternatives.
Okay, so that goes on to talk a little bit about the representative and what he's done, but those videos are available. And then we also have videos that are available for support for a price on carbon. And yes, we can play a little bit. Our example here is Senator Mitt Romney.
I hope people understand that very simple thing, which is those things we tax, we get less of. Those things we subsidize, we get more of.
One of the things we've been talking a lot about over the past 2 days is tax policy and also climate policy, which invariably gets you to the possibility of a carbon tax. I know it's something that you have looked at in the past. Would you be an advocate for it today?
I'm very, very open to a carbon tax, carbon dividend, where there's a tax on oil companies and coal companies and so forth, and that the funds that are raised then go to individual taxpayers so they can meet the cost of the higher price of energy. I hope people understand that very simple thing. Which
Great. So you can see there that Mitt Romney is willing to speak out on behalf of a carbon fee and dividend. He does call it a carbon tax and dividend. And so that's one of the reasons that we're using this broader list of policy names, is because people do use different terms. We have a number of videos that are in support of price on carbon, and there are a number of high profile people who have spoken out in support of a price on carbon. And so there's a link to those videos at the end. And then I also wanna say we make other videos. And so where there are videos that are relevant to the Energy Innovation Act or to a price on carbon, we will make sure and make those available in slide format. Additionally, they're available in our social media toolkits and things like that. But here's an example of a video we made talking about how the Energy Innovation Act meets.
My top recommendation, honestly, would be just to have a carbon tax. carbon fee.
A carbon tax.
Carbon pricing.
Carbon tax.
Price on carbon.
When you put a price on carbon, everything else works.
The United States sets out on the road to cut greenhouse gases in half by the end of this decade.
Okay, so that is a video that talks about how carbon price works fast and can get us to our goals. So you guys should check out the rest of those videos and see if you find them useful. I also wanted to share a little bit more about some more work that we're doing to support a price on carbon. So CCL is doing a digital advertising campaign. It is in support of a price on carbon. It's going to launch next week and it runs through mid-September. The main target is a custom list essentially of DC influencers. So there's a set of folks who we are hoping to get our ads in front of, and we will be targeting them across the internet. Additionally, we'll be doing some media buys on The Hill, The Daily, The Washington Examiner, and The Wall Street Journal. It includes a media and stakeholder outreach component. And so at the same time as we're running ads, we are also reaching out to press and trying to get the word out about a price on carbon. You guys will have an opportunity to see this. There will be in June, some of the media that I listed above will be available and people can go check it out if you're so inclined. But we are putting some weight behind a price on carbon and our carbon pricing messaging. Okay. And so for the stuff we talked about tonight, there are a bunch of resources. So we've got social media toolkits for stuff where you can find a post on social. We've got some slides, both Google and PowerPoint, and we've got links to our videos that we showed tonight.
Huge, huge work on just walking us through all of that. I'll put some of the supporting URLs in the chat that we haven't gotten to, but please join me in just thanking Leslie for a wonderful presentation that was both incredibly nuanced as well as still well-paced, so that I don't think you lost any of us, Leslie. You got two options. You can always email me. It's just simply brett@citizensclimate.org. You're also welcome to go to our forums on CCL community. Staff members will be monitoring that. And depending on what it is, we'd love to respond there as well. So thank you all so very much for being here. I'm going to unmute all lines so that we can wish each other well. And with that, stay safe out there and have fun with these new messages.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Leslie. Very good message.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram @CitizensClimate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.